The views and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the views of the management and staff of Guardian Radio.
Silly. You jump on the bike, go to the post office, jump off the bike, and buy one stamp. You put the stamp on a letter, send a letter to the one you love.
Girl, tell me, who do you love?
I tell you, I love your body.
Sugar, put the nap, choo-choo plum. Girl, where you coming from? Tamarind sour, soft and green, Billy. You must see, treat me silly. You jump on the bike, go to the landmark. Jump off the bike, pick out one lot. Save your money every weekend and put a little bit down on your lot.
Boy, tell me, who do you love?
I tell you, I love nobody.
Sugar, coconut, choo-choo plum. Boy, where you coming from? Tamarind sour, soft and green, dilly. You must sit, treat me silly. You jump on the bike, go to the dressmaker. You get measure for one gown. The gown is white and it got lace. With one veil, fall across your face.
Girl, tell me, who do you love?
I tell you, I love nobody.
Sugar, coconut, choo-choo plum. Girl, where you coming from? Tamarind sour, soft and green, dilly. You must see, treat me silly. You jump on the bike, go to the hardware. You buy some lumber, you buy some nail. You take that lumber to your log hut. And with that lumber, you build one house.
Boy, tell me, who do you love?
I tell you, I love nobody.
Sugar, coconut, choo-choo plum. Boy, where you coming from? Tamarind sour, soft and green, dilly. You must see, treat me silly. You jump on the bike, go to the church. Who walk with you down the aisle? Who you put on your crossbar? Who you pedal home to your house?
Boy, tell me, who do you love?
I tell you, I love nobody.
Girl, tell me, who do you love?
I tell you, I love nobody.
Sugar, coconut, choo-choo plum. Where you get them children from? You must see, take me silly. They come from Eden Lily.
Good yawning this morning, and welcome back to Guardian Radio 96.9, station for fresh news, smart talk all day. It is Wednesday, the 29th of July, 2026, and you are on the clock with Erin Green. Good morning, everybody. Good morning. We got lots to talk about this morning. I wanted to talk about the international health regulations. It's such a thick conversation, though. I'm not sure if we could take it all in today. I think yesterday I made the point that I wanted to make about the U.S. tariff policy decision by the U.S. and the government's statements indicating their response, how they intend on responding, and how they have responded so far. My question, you know, my questions are kind of simple. The majority of goods imported to the Bahamas come through the U.S., whether they are U.S. produced or not. If it's a question of goods produced by forced labor, so significant that you prepare to put a 2.5% increase in the tariff on the country, what could it be? What are the goods? Has the U.S. identified the things that they are concerned about, right? Because how many of the goods do we that we purchase from American companies, how much of those goods and products are produced with slave labor, or if, see, they like to call it forced labor. It's slave labor in other jurisdictions, right? How many U.S. sold products made by American companies in foreign jurisdictions that take advantage of slave labor and forced labor? Second to that, even if the goods are not produced in the U.S. and are only coming through the U.S., so you're saying that the U.S. does not have the capacity or the resources to detect and interdict, like remove from the supply chain goods that they know are made in jurisdictions or by companies that use forced labor? And what is their definition of forced labor? Does it include products that are produced by prisoners in the United States of America? Does it include products produced by prisoners in the United States of America? Are there products like, let's look at produce, let's look at agricultural sector. Right now we've seen a massive push to remove migrants from the U.S., but how many American companies were using migrant labor, knowing that their staff are undocumented, right? The berries, the lettuce, the carrots, the things that we import from the U.S., how much of the produce is produced by slave labor? And if you follow in discussions in the U.S., there are a number of American farmers of European descent that are kind of demanding that African Americans, like, why won't African Americans work for us? They have an expectation that people will relegate themselves to the status of forced labor or slave labor, like, because you will accept these slave wages, right? You'll accept these slave wages to keep the people, right? So what are the goods that have been identified as coming into the Bahamas and produced by forced labor and slave labor? What are they? And have we identified the jurisdictions that they come from? I see the call line has lit up. That's not even really what I wanted to talk about this morning, but we're going to take some calls and move through the stories. Good morning, caller. Good morning, caller. You there?
Hey, my name is Greg. How you doing?
I'm good, thank you. How you do?
Well, I have a quick question for you, right?
Uh-huh.
I don't know that much about politics and the global aspect pertaining politics, right?
Mm-hmm.
One thing I know is things got to make sense to me, right?
Right.
One plus one half to add up to two,
uh-huh.
Right? What I mean by that is, right, let's just simply don't say, well, okay, y'all build a hospital, right? Y'all don't build a hospital, we got to punish y'all so we can put tariffs on y'all. Because the reason I say this is, right, what they say about the homelessness, we ain't retarded. We know exactly why y'all putting the tariffs on us, because we build a hospital.
Mm-hmm.
You see where I'm coming from? You know why we can't punish? That's like saying, well, you're getting beaten, right? And your parents tell you one stupid excuse why you're getting beaten. Mm-hmm. You know why you're getting beaten? We're getting beaten because we build a hospital. They very jealous, don't build a hospital. We go on ahead, we go and build a hospital, so now we're getting punished from that. And then this is just the beginning of the punishment.
This is just the beginning?
This is just the beginning. You know what you get unless you know you come off the list. It really mortifies from there. Think about it.
Mm-hmm.
Anyone who on that list, right?
Mm-hmm.
They only get more punishment. China on the list, they've been getting terrorists.
Mm-hmm.
Now we on the list. You know, we only start from 2.5.
Hold on, there's a
difference. Then we can do something and bounce back up to probably 20%.
Now, you know, we cannot categorize ourselves with China. Like the
No. We won't do that. We have problems now because of China.
The U.S. and China, that's like, right, the U.S. and China, that's like husband and wife fighting or brother and sister fighting. But us right now in the U.S., that's like daddy and children, Rowan. You know, it's a slight difference. It's a slight difference. With the other two, there's a more balanced power dynamic. But for us, it's like we getting riled by Grammy. Not even daddy, we getting riled by Grammy. Even daddy's scared of Grammy.
You know? Yeah, but Ms. Green, trust me, this is just the beginning. You know that, dude.
I hope not.
Because I was saying, right, my thing is, right, what I would have done, I would have probably did the hospital in 2028 or 2027. When they go through another election, where they ain't pay too much paying attention
you
now.
You ain't see the paper today.
We're going on?
Hey, that's one of the stories we're going to talk about. In the front of the Tribune, PMH ruled negligent in newborn baby's death. Court rules hospital's lack of monitoring led to baby's fatal injury. This is one of the stories I was going to read today. In reference to the new hospital conversation, we can't wait any longer. I don't know if we could wait any longer. And I thought it was very brave of Darville, pun intended, to say out loud, man, we have been in negotiations with the U.S. government, right? The amount of time I recall is approximately 3 years, right? Like, we have been working with the U.S. to develop favorable terms or acceptable terms to the Bahamas, right? How much longer can we wait?
But let me ask a question, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, like, once again, I don't know too much about politics, right? Mm-hmm. What could have been a way where is it we could accept the gift from China without announcing that China gave us the gift?
No. No.
It don't work like that.
No, it don't work like that. Let me give you an example. And like when I write my book, I write in a fantasy novel, and this is the premise of the fantasy, right? The Bahamas enjoys sometimes the benefit and the burden of a proxy war between the U.S. and China. They having a little proxy war in the Bahamas, right? They sort of fighting each other, but in our jurisdiction. As if, right, like they telling each other, no, I have an international law to ask the Bahamas if they want to be my friend, right? So they having a proxy war, the two of them talking to each other. And then somebody from the Middle East, some Arabic boy say, I would like to build a hotel in the Bahamas. I believe that as soon as that happened, the U.S. pick up the phone and call China and say, China, you see, hold on, China. No, calm down, China. I ain't call you to row you. I call you to ask you if you see that Arabic boy going into the Bahamas like he could do business in the Bahamas. He don't see me and you fighting over who could do business in the Bahamas. How about we work together to get rid of him? Right? So, you think they checking for us?
So you think you can bear it with too much people then?
No. We are members of the global community. You know, there's a tagline, I wish I had it. There's a tagline that the Ministry of Foreign Affairs uses and being small island Caribbean states use. I say we're friends of many and enemies of none. I think that's what it is. Friends of many and enemies of none.
I got you, but boy, that's just the beginning. All right, keep up the good work.
No, and thank you for asking like the hard questions and being willing to say the hard things. Producer, let's go to the phone line. Good morning, caller.
Good morning, Miss Green. How you doing today, ma'am?
I'm good, thank you.
Am I allowed to call into your show this morning?
Yeah, I mean, you're allowed to call into the show, but right now we simply talking about the first thing I talked about, which is the American tariffs, and then I'm going to transition into PMH.
That's what I wanted to ask you about also.
Okay.
The same thing you're talking about. I'm not going off gig, okay?
No problem.
I understand what you're talking about.
Yes, sir.
What I don't understand is, uh-huh. when I look at the American farming system, most of those farms are still less like the plantation. Majority of the workers come from Mexico, Brazil, all the way down south. Mm-hmm. Are poor people trying to find a better way of life, and they move towards Los Angeles, California, all the places where they grow all the vegetables and fruits and strawberries and everything.
Mm-hmm.
They work very hard in those fields and stuff like that. Apart from that, that's forced labor. Apart from that, they go over and spray all kind of chemicals on those fields, including the corn fields, the tomato fields, and everything. And it causes cancer. They even tell you that it might be causing cancer. They have labels on them.
Mm-hmm.
And then we import billions of dollars of it into the Bahamas. Now, we try to get to grow organic food here without all the chemicals, and yet they're going to put the tariff on us for us ordering all that stuff we order from them. Plus, all of our people left the Bahamas to go off on contract. I have an uncle that left here and died over there, and he lived in Tavares, Florida.
Mm-hmm.
He went over there, got married, and he never came back other than for funerals and weddings and when his mother and brothers and sister died. That's my uncle, Leon. And I don't understand, why are we being punished 80 miles off of Florida, and we've been giving our life to America? If we mess around and open our mouth and get biggity, we'll end up just like Cuba and Haiti. That's the power they got.
Yes, sir. Thank you. Thank you for that. When Sparky was talking, all I could think was, we've given our sons and daughters to you. You have taken some of them with no recourse. What you mean? I'll be honest with y'all. I'm 50. I get it. I get it. I have a hard time looking at somebody who is my age, right? Like by the name of Marco Rubio. Looking at somebody who is roughly my age, right? Who's looking at us, who either does not know or refuses to acknowledge the historic and cultural context of the relationship between the Bahamas and the United States of America, right? This is a boy we would have been playing porkin with if he grew up in the Bahamas. This is a boy the two of y'all would have get thrown in the tin tub to bathe your dirty, scrubby skin together to then turn around and have these conversations. You must be devoid of the actual context, the historic and cultural and political relationship between the United States of America and the Bahamas. But put that aside. Put that aside. I am having difficulty tolerating a country that even refuses to acknowledge the extent to which pedophilia and perversion and rape culture has infiltrated its political culture. Right? Like, and then you're going to tell us that we're going to need to suffer because we're not prepared to march to the beat of your annexing drum? See, back in the late 90s when George Bush, I think it was senior, may have been junior, said, hey, Christopher Columbus took his first steps in the New World on American soil. And he wasn't actually forgetting that the Bahamas is not American, you know. He meant American soil in the context, in the present political context, American soil. Sometimes it's difficult. You know the song by Nina Simone, I Wish I Knew What It Felt Like to Be Free? I thought I knew. I thought I knew, but I ain't sure if I know. Let's go to the text line. Good morning. Oh boy, this very personal text. Text, I hear you and I feel you. Text is saying that they too had the same or similar experience as that is being shared in today's Tribune story. PMH ruled negligent in newborn baby's death. Now, the context, like the way that I am locating myself in this conversation, the space that I am speaking from, is the space where people keep saying, why is there a woman's hospital being built? Why is there a specialty women's hospital being built? Why is there this focus on women and maternity that makes people feel like men are being excluded, right? So we're going to just read from this article quickly. PMH ruled negligent in newborn baby's death. Court rules hospital's lack of monitoring led to baby's fatal injury. Yoga, forgive me, please, in advance. I have in flashbacks looking at this picture, because if I tell you what my personal experiences have been with the hospital, I would have to start by saying that the staff, the doctors, the nurses, the auxiliary staff that I have interacted with, like in the interactions, they are acknowledging the delinquent state of the facilities, and they attempt to ameliorate, like they attempt to make you feel better because they understand the conditions that they are working in and you are, you know, forced to use if you use in the public healthcare system. A Supreme Court judge has found Princess Margaret Hospital negligent in the death of a newborn girl after staff failed to monitor the baby and her mother for 27 critical minutes before an emergency cesarean section. Acting Justice Raynard Rigby Casey ruled in favor of Widlene Guillaume, whose daughter Elizabeth Lundy died on August 2, 2022, just over 2 hours after she was born. The judge found that the hospital and obstetrician, Dr. Agatha Folks Mackey, fell below the required standard of care by failing to monitor Miss Guillaume and her baby between 4:10 a.m. and 4:37 a.m. as she waited to enter the operating theater. He concluded that the lack of monitoring caused the injury to the baby and was fatal. Quote, I find, therefore, in the balance of probabilities, that the failure to monitor the mother and baby in the period between 4:10 a.m. and 4:37 a.m. was negligent, and the defendants fell below the standard of care. Close quotes, Justice Rigby said. The judge accepted that the baby probably died from perinatal asphyxia, the cause recorded on a death certificate, rather than a congenital heart defect. Ms. Guillaume arrived at PMH late on August 1st, 2022, at 39 weeks and 3 days pregnant. She was admitted to the public maternity ward after reporting contractions and cramping. This is a heavy one. I would like to get back to it on another day. We could read through what I can identify and read through what are the most salient parts of the conversation, not just from my location, but elements that other listeners would be interested in. Robert DePuge, just as we close the article, we go into the last couple of paragraphs. Robert DePuge Karen, who served as deputy chairman of the Public Hospitals Authority when the incident involving the baby occurred, described the matter as tragic and said he was distraught and it took so long to resolve. Applauding the decision of Justice Rigby, Mr. Karen said, quote, in many cases, like his own son, justice is never served, close quotes. While detailing the progress made under the former chairman, Mr. Julian Roll, he saluted the significant efforts of the PHA's current chairman, Mr. Andrew Edwards, to reduce the likelihood of similar incidents occurring again. So I just want to make a quick note before we transition. In the article, the former deputy chairman, Mr. Karen, intimates, he says something that suggests that he also had a similar situation, right? So just in this article, there's two people. I have a text here that says that they had a similar experience. And perhaps now, perhaps now we're prepared to enter the discussion with a different perspective. The focus on women and maternity is, I do not think, rooted in a disregard for the needs of men. It's not rooted in a disregard for the needs of men. Perhaps this is an example of why there's been a policy decision that a new hospital will have a specialty focus on women and maternity, as well as other services you find in a hospital. Let's go to the text line. The text line says, good day, Aaron. How could I enter the race to win the trip to Fort Lauderdale? I'm from Freeport. Where could I go to sign up? Could you sign me up? I could text my info. Thanks. Well, you know what, Texter? I could do that for you. Y'all don't get the Guardian in Grand Bahama? Okay, we gotta figure out a pipeline to get the Guardian in Grand Bahama. So we're going to take a break. When we get back from the break, I go remind everybody how to enter the race for the Great Summer Escape Giveaway. In fact, producer, I could do that right now with the music playing, because this is holiday music. Guardian Radio and the Guardian Media Group want to send you away for the summer with the Great Summer Escape Giveaway. You could win a trip for two, including hotel, car, luggage, and $1,000 cash. All you need is your passport. Just get a Nassau Guardian newspaper, fill out the entry form, drop it in the entry box at the Nassau Guardian in Oaksfield, and tune into Guardian Radio and follow the Nassau Guardian on all social media platforms for your chances to win. The Guardian Media Group Great Summer Escape Giveaway. Deadline to enter August 12th, drawing August 14th. Texter, I could text you, and then you could give me the information. We could do that. You guys stay tuned. On the other side of the break, we got some stories. Man faces 2 weeks in prison over stolen crabs. Statue vandal jailed for 18 months. And the new boards and committees list is out. The new boards and committees list is out. We're going to a break. We'll be right back.
Wait, why you look so mashed up, like clothes at the washer?
No, but just a hard day. What?
Hard day? What happened? The breakfast lady ran out of tuna and Gretzky.
We need to start joking about everything, you know. This serious, boy. This real serious, boy.
Wait, what's serious? Tell me.
All right, well, today, boss gave his boy one big, big contract. And nobody else get a chance and nobody say nothing.
Boy, you know that ain't right. You know government contracts ain't supposed to go that way.
Yeah, but nobody's saying nothing. Boss man just tell people to sign the papers. Then he sent me to meet his boy downtown and collect this envelope.
You need to tell somebody. You need to become a whistleblower.
You know I's a real man, but I never blow no whistle. I be drunk all my life in Junkano.
No, boy. A whistleblower is someone who tells people what they see when they see something wrong happening at work.
But I ain't no whistleblower, and I ain't no snitch. I still wait there, you know.
But ain't nobody gonna know it's you. All you gotta do is call Crime Stoppers, or you could text them from inside the Crack Crime Bahamas app. They don't ask about you. And your call goes straight through to Miami, so nobody know who you is. And if you text, your message get mixed up like Kong Salad.
Call 328-8477 from Nassau, or 242-300-8477 from the Family Islands.
Running low on summer funds? Squeeze every drop of fun out of your summer with Fidelity Personal Loan. From backyard upgrades to family getaways, Fidelity is here to help. Call 356-7764 today.
Fidelity, we're good for you.
New school year, new gear. From uniforms to laptops, a Fidelity Personal Loan can help you check every item off of your kids' school list. Jump into back-to-school season with ease. Apply for a Fidelity Personal Loan today. Call 356-7764.
Fidelity, we're good for you.
The Blue Heart is the global symbol. It represents solidarity with the victims and a commitment to ending the exploitation of human lives. See the blue heart, know the cause, take a stand.
For fast, reliable, and impactful printing services, look no further. Let Printmasters bring your masterpiece to life. We stand by our quality products that is second to none. Our affordable pricing makes Printmasters the ultimate choice for all your printing needs. We can deliver any type of printing services, from banners to booklets to business cards. You name it, we can print it.
Let Printmasters bring your masterpiece to life.
Located in the Nassau Guardian Building, telephone 302-2361.
At Cleveland Clinic, you set your course, not cancer. So when your journey takes an unexpected turn, you seek out the experts who've conquered it before, and you forge new paths to help fight cancers. For every route to a cure, for every care in the world, see how we're innovating cancer care at Cleveland Clinic today.
Welcome back to On the Clock. I had to listen to the song a little bit. The music is sweet. Okay, as we get back into the show, just want to touch right back on the tariff conversation for a second. There's also another article. So the articles I was reading from: government seeks U.S. tariff exemption for seafood, government taking action on U.S. tariff, Campbell says. That's Minister Jomo Campbell, minister responsible for agriculture and marine resources. Another text: don't relent until Trump tariff lifted from the Bahamas. And this article: official notes uptick in labor-related trafficking. Chief legal advisor in the Ministry of National Security, Paul Jones, said on Saturday that there is an uptick in labor-related human trafficking. Quote, the government leads the charge in ensuring that we have in place the necessary resources and people to do with victims of trafficking in persons, close quotes, he said outside an annual prayer breakfast meeting. Quote, we have seen an uptick in that particular area, but mainly so much in labor. It used to be more sexual before, but now it is in labor. Let's stick a pin right here. First of all, sex work is work. That's labor also. Yeah, we got to start all over, man. I thought I was going to read. We got to start all over. Sex work is work. It is regarded as work. It is also labor trafficking. It is also labor trafficking. They've come to work. They're not coming here to have fun. It is a work, especially if that's not what you came here for, right? See, smuggling is when you agree, right? Like when you say, hey, I need to get to B. Can you take me to B through illegal means? And they say, yeah, sure. And they take you to B and you go about your way. Trafficking is when you say, hey, can you take me to B? And they say, sure, we could take you to B, no problem. But then you end up in C. Or when you get to B, they don't let you go. They don't give you your documents, right? Or trafficking is you could just get snatched up off the street in an airport, at a port, at a dock. Going to continue reading. He continued, it is, quote, it is a $236 billion industry globally, and the Bahamas is not immune. Quote, they're lured to our shores under the pretenses of finding a job, thinking that everything will be in place when they are actually being trafficked. Their passports are being taken, and so they are almost in a modern-day slavery. They are in a modern-day slavery. Recently, the Minister for National Security noted 39 trafficking in persons investigations were launched in 2025. One of those cases involved a labor trafficking violation. LaRota noted that more than $92,000 will be allocated to continue work to combat trafficking in persons. Okay. The United States' 2025 Trafficking in Persons Report is its Tier 1 ranking. That's the highest ranking. As it said, the government, quote, continued to demonstrate serious and sustained efforts during the reporting period. That's the part I wanted. The first half, I didn't get it, but they got me in the second half. That part, right, to me, that may be labor trafficking, right? Like services produced by people who have been trafficked is not one of the things that have prompted this 2.5% increase in tariff. But we shall see. Here is a text. It's a scripture. It says in Revelation 13:11, America is depicted as a beast coming up from the earth with two horns like a lamb, but it speaks like a dragon. The two horns symbolize its rise of republicanism and Protestantism, but it eventually speaks through its laws and policies like the dragon symbolically. America's policies are about to get far worse. We haven't seen anything yet. Well, I'm very, very concerned for my American brothers and sisters, as well as my Bahamian brothers and sisters, because two things are happening right now that raise concern for me. One is this: the legislation, the Sunshine Protection Act. The Sunshine Protection Act passed in the lower house in the United States of America. I think it's likely to pass all the way up. Trump supports it. And that act is going to make daylight savings time permanent. The second thing is apparently, and I think it's true. I mean, I haven't heard it from Marco Rubio myself, or from the chargé, or from the ambassador, but I think it's true. It's about the U.S. draft and the move from voluntary to involuntary, right? And the third is this bill that will merge a number of aspects of the U.S. military and the Israeli military. Those three things have me very concerned for my brothers and sisters in the United States of America. All right, text, I got you. I'm going to get that information and fill out the vibe for you if I could. But listen, anybody else, it could cost money. It could cost money. It can cost money. I mean, when I say money, it could cost you one of the two. That's all. I may want to go with you. And I will require a letter from your wife, your children, or your Grammy telling me why I cannot be one of the two. There's so much to talk about this morning. We still got time. So let's go to these three stories from yesterday's papers that I wanted to touch on. Man faces 2 weeks in prison over stolen crabs. A man is facing a 14-day prison sentence after he admitted to stealing 10 land crabs. Mr. Cawley, Robert Cawley, could avoid the two-week stay in the slammer by paying Carla Culmer $140, the value of the crabs. First of all, the crabs cost $14 apiece. Oh, that's the retail price. Who buying crabs at $14 apiece? Retail. Who doing that? Cawley told Senior Magistrate Algernon Allen Sr. that he did landscaping for Culmer and that she owed him $120 for cleaning her yard. He alleged that he went to her home on Tyler Street in Chippingham to collect his money, but she wasn't home. Cawley said the crabs, which were on the porch... Oh, Cawley said that his wife was upset because there was no food at home and no money to buy any without his pay. So he took the crabs, which were on the porch. Cawley claimed that his wife cooked the crustaceans and they had a tasty meal. First of all, Mr. Cawley, you shouldn't say the crabs taste bad. I don't know who's advising you. It's obviously not the former Minister of National Security. The magistrate told Cawley that his behavior couldn't be condoned and that he should have sued Culmer to recover what was allegedly owed to him. At the time of his arraignment, Cawley had already spent 2 days in police custody. When told that he'd be jailed, if he didn't pay for the crabs, Cawley sighed and said, quote, $10 for each day, close quotes, full stop. Now, at the risk of being seen as critiquing the judiciary, at the risk of that, let me just say this. Could we shut this? Could we just close this? Whatever this court is, seal it up. Throw some Obeah on the door and let us not walk back into that courtroom again. Because how much does it cost to take care of a prisoner per day? I know it costs more than $10. I know it costs more than $10. How much did it cost to process it? I know it costs more than $10 a day. I know that. But it's, right, like, if this is about the, like, compensation, proper compensation, right? Every day he spends, he'd spend a day for every $10 he doesn't pay back, right? Does it make sense? Here's the better part. The magistrate told Cawley that his behavior couldn't be condoned. That's true. We aye for that. You got to come up about it differently. He should have sued Culmer to recover what was allegedly owed to him. Stick a pin. With what money? There's a hole in the bucket. There, Liza. See, Mr. Levon, you should have played the song now. There's a hole in the bucket. With what money he was going to hire a lawyer? With what money he was going to submit the documents to the court for the case to go forward? With what money? Because there's a hole in the bucket. Dear Liza. I don't. Could somebody please go take Mr. Robert Cawley $120? Somebody, please. Please. The person who paid the fines and the fees and the costs for the Ramsey guy who was on the BPL board, who said he took the bribe, but he don't make any decisions. Whoever paid his fees and fines, y'all go pay the $120 for this man, please. He's supposed to go sue the person with what money? In fact, you should have had the former minister advising you. See, if I was advising you, I would have told you to tell them that, look, the first of all, animal cruelty. Crabs were kept outside. They could have been ravaged by any animal. Second of all, they were not properly secured and could have become a risk or a danger to the public. And I secured them in my belly for her. Let's go to the phone line, producer. Good morning, caller.
Ms. Green.
Yes, sir.
How are you? All the way we came with the tree. One chairman. But listen to me.
What?
Sparky,
stop. No, stop, stop. Okay, wait. You say friends of Sparky. Go on.
As friends of Sparky, we want to sponsor a show. A one-hour show on your show with Sparky. So you could just vet out everything.
How much
would that cost us?
I can let you know. I can message you.
Please.
Yes,
we want to let Sparky just go on.
No.
One hour, just on your show, though. We want it on your show.
We want to frame it, though, because I want to frame it because he has so much history that we're going to pull it out of him delicately so that we could have the best experience.
So we want to do that for Sparky.
Okay, let's go back to the...
We can pay for that.
Let's go back to...
We're going to get together. I know me and a few friends.
Yeah.
We could muscle it up for Sparky.
I got you.
There's some things that Sparky needs to get out.
I got you. Listen.
And we want to do that.
But
now this thing with this crab.
No, let's talk about Latrey. I mean, we're talking about crabs still, right?
Go ahead.
Okay. Would you say all the way with Latrey?
One chairman.
And his social media platform?
I said one chairman.
What you mean? That's gang. I don't like that language. That's gang culture. I mean, technically, you could only have one chairman, so why you need to say it? It's like the Guy Fawkes Party. We only have one member because there could only be one leader. Right?
We only have one member because there could only be one leader.
I want to get to
some... We have one chairman now under the chairmanship of Mr. Mitchell.
You got two.
Who is the next one?
Latrey.
No.
Yes.
Latrey is not the chairman.
Okay,
Mitchell
so...
Mitchell is the chairman of...
Here's what I need to ask some questions... Right now, how will you ensure that in the future that Mr. Ramming will not confuse the Office of Director of Communications in the Office of the Prime Minister with the Office of the Chairman of the Progressive Liberal Party? Because the gentleman has released a number of statements on OPM letterhead that should have been issued on PLP letterhead. That's the first one. The second one is, y'all throw away this by social media account yet? You just throw it away, boy. Mr. Ramming. See,
Are you talking to me?
I use Ramming,
not the boy.
Hold on, pause. If you knew what I saw on his social media platform, then you'd understand why I call him boy. He still ain't gonna get an honorable boy them from me yet. He ain't reached that far. What I'm saying is, y'all really serious with this?
Okay. I will be a part of this team to make sure that Latrey Ramming becomes chairman.
Well, our conversation tomorrow.
You said what would be the difference with him as
No, I'm saying that y'all must ensure before you elevate him to the position of chairman of the Progressive Liberal Party that he understands entirely that it is inappropriate and unacceptable and quite frankly intolerable for the continuation of a practice of using OPM letterhead for party statements.
Well, Ms. Green, when we get to that bridge, we'll cross it. You can't cross the Paradise Island Bridge from off Wolf Road. You got to get to the bridge to get over it. I get to that,
you can tell him that.
Then we'll clear it up.
You can tell him that.
No. That would be that. The treasurer is a brilliant young man.
Y'all wilding out in the PLP, man.
You're wilding out.
In fact,
I support who I want to support. Ain't nobody can tell me to support.
No, man, you can support who you want. Julian, I got to end the call, but not because I'm trying to shut you down.
No, why not, Vigo?
All right. Ooh, okay. Let's go to the next caller. Please be there, caller. I don't want no... Good morning, caller.
Yes, good morning, Mr. Thank you. How are you doing?
I'm good, thank you.
I don't have time for such mindless, meaningless, unprofitable conversations on the radio. It sickens me when the world has a real global threats and dilemmas. You said something that ticked off my brain from the early part of the show. You said something about international health regulations, right?
Yeah.
And my mind intuitively went on the pandemic treaty, right?
Yes.
Which was not brought into existence because everybody didn't vote for it, right?
Right.
And then my mind went back that they actually went back to the drawing board now and they come up with this because I juxtaposed it and I just took a cursory look at it. Mm-hmm. And I see here where one of the stipulations, travel protection, international travel protection. It sets international health documents such as vaccination certificates while safeguarding travel rights and privacy. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, this is just another attempt for them to really bring back the pandemic treaty, which really was the difference might be just that the WHO had far-reaching powers to declare a pandemic here, a pandemic there, a pandemic anywhere. They felt like which would bring economic problems for the country as it relates to, right?
Mm-hmm.
So could you just just look into this some more? Because I just took a look at it, and I just looked at it because you had mentioned
Matt,
it.
Matt, listen, 52, but, do me a favor. If you know the doctors who shared the petition, right? Because remember, there was a petition last year going around.
I brought it up. I had asked Dr. Archer to do a show on it. After I learned about it sometime earlier.
I've been trying to get them on for like 3 years to talk about it, man.
But seeing that you brought it up, it actually is a juxtaposition with the pandemic treaty. But I want to say something very quickly that I thought you mentioned, because you're a thinker. When you talked about you all weigh the pros and the cons with the guy with the crabs, et cetera, and the amount of money it takes to house him in the house, in the prison.
Yeah.
So I've long advocated for something which you're talking about. You can imagine how many young men went to jail for a joint of weed and then couldn't get someone to sign their bail and stayed there to being fed and housed for months. So what I'm saying is, you know, why are the ruling class so imbecilic? They couldn't see that it is a meaningless agenda just to put someone in jail for a joint and feed them and house them for months, and then they're wondering why the country's in this position. They don't know economics. It's counterintuitive. Have a good day.
Yeah, man, thank you. You know, I think about being invited to meetings like 2 decades ago with the Catholic Church, who were attempting to not just establish a community restorative justice program, but they were attempting to create another layer of the judicial process, right? By formalizing a restorative justice process similar to what we see in today's paper where Candy Gibson from Foam, you say, good morning, Candy Gibson, where Candy Gibson from Foam reaches out to the boys who were involved in that pre-fight on the school campus. You can see it on page 2, page 1. First headline is boys from viral school video reconcile and work together. Bully teen gets attacker a summer job after reconciliation, right? So they say, hey, Candy Gibson, big up, right? Like, that's so the young people understand. And a job well done for the older people. Because what she did was took it upon herself to attempt a sort of restorative justice process for these boys. Two teens reconcile after being seen in a video in a bullying incident during summer school. And the one boy even facilitated the boy who was bullying him to get a job, man. Right, and so that's kind of how restorative justice works. And I think that's the sort of process that should have been taken up for the gentleman. Let's go to the phone line quickly and then back to the text line. Good morning, caller.
Morning, Ms. Green. How are you doing this morning?
I am good, thank you. How are you?
I'm doing well, ma'am. I want to call it earlier when you talk more about things. And to be very quickly, I agree with you, too, in terms of the things. You talk about serious things going on, Ms. Green. But when you're talking about the medical things, right, I want us to do, if you can, if we can see what changes, if any, took place in the terms of the medical authority, in terms of the powers that they have now, whenever there's a pandemic or something that's declared. I want to know if the powers of the Ministry of Health have increased since the COVID pandemic. I want to know if, like, if it come again, if I wouldn't have the right to say no. You know what I mean? I want to know if they have a right now. Because,
yeah.
You know,
we want to know what you've amended, what you've agreed to.
Yes, I want to know what powers they have, because I want to know if their powers are like those I saw they passed in the U.S., because the ones in the U.S. says that if they suspect your child has a disease or whatever, they can come in your house and take your child from you. I want to know if that type of powers exist here with our health ministry. And if it does, we the people need to say, we ain't for that, right? Secondly, when you were talking earlier about America and the tariffs, right? I mean, based on the reasons why they say in it, I'm trying to figure out where America get this moral authority from. You know what I mean? In terms of America's history of doing exactly what they're saying that they're trying to, you know what I mean? He's like, caused the world to stop doing. I mean, because even the thing with Cuba, I mean, you know, who gave America any of, but you understand where I come from?
Listen, to the point where we're not just examining the prison industrial complex and how it enslaves people, right? But we're also examining the preschool to prison pipeline.
Yes, ma'am.
Where they begin preparing people for slave wages and slave labor from day in school.
You understand, Ms. Green.
Yes, sir.
And the thing about it, too, is that America itself,
the
foundation of America is built on exactly what they're talking about.
Listen, but you know, we could only talk for 30 seconds, and then Trump can hear us.
One last point, Ms. Green. I heard we talking about the dog issue earlier, right? But another issue we have in this country, too, is rodents, right?
Oh, yeah.
We probably could have an industry, man. We have so many rodents over here. There are countries in the world where rat is a delicacy. You probably could, you know, have a rat industry, maybe, you know, exporting rats, because, I mean, rodents are a problem, and we need to find an environmentally safe way to deal with them, get rid of them, not put poison all over the place.
Yeah, you're absolutely right with that.
Thank you very much.
Also with the mosquitoes. Y'all?
Yeah, oh, definitely.
Y'all going to kill all the bees to try and kill some of the mosquitoes? You understand what's happening? Y'all going to kill all the bees to try and kill some of the mosquitoes. God made mosquitoes. They're here to make sure that we don't forget to wake up when we fall asleep outside. They have a purpose. You can't kill all of them, but you can kill all the bees. And you're doing that in your attempt to eradicate mosquitoes, which is impossible. All right. Texas, I support Robin Lyons for chairwoman. Ms. Green, Latreille is a great choice for PLP chairman. We only expect... The texter says we only expect garbage from the PLP anyway. Go Latreille. Listen. Hey. Deal with the bridge crossing before you leave home. Our national problem is we don't ask the hard questions beforehand and we end up with the predictable poor results. We can see conflict of interest and confusion with cabinet ministers mixing party business with governance from down in Inagua. Oh, do not want... Oh, I do not need to. I got you. Yeah, you know, I almost fell out to see a senior civil servant in political gear. I almost fell out. Ruby Nordic said same-sex marriage is impossible in the Bahamian constitution. I thought it was this was impossible too. It turns out it's not impossible. Let me make it pollutively clear. Another, I hear you, producer, come in. Another text says, male mosquitoes pollinate. Right, they're pollinators. Accidental pollinators, maybe. Only the female mosquitoes bite. Male mosquitoes pollinate. And they're the scouts. Good morning, Ms. Green. You bring up interesting points on the Crab Court matter as it relates to the cost to file, prosecute, and hear this case, in addition to the cost to imprison the defendant, is more than 100 times more than the value of the crabs. Somebody says, and sorry, sex work is not work. It is. Go ask the ILO. Go ask the International Labor Organization. It's work. You think people like sleeping with y'all? You think people like sleeping with you, sir, ma'am, whatever it is? Sex work is work. We got an empathy problem. We could fix that with some sunshine and some ganap and some mango. Some papaya, some soursop, some sugar apple, some watermelon, some jackfruit, some passion fruit, some governor's plum, some mulberry, some sea grape. Could fix that right away. Oh, and some sunshine and seawater. Knock that empathy right out of you. Try some aloes, some cerise, some bejarina. Soursop leaf. Pear leaf, sour leaf, knock that right out your chest. You need some empathy. You can fix that. You guys, tomorrow we talk in communications, the value of information and the power of communication. We talk in that tomorrow. I don't want you all to think that I just making fun of Latre Ramming. We're going to have a serious conversation about the implications of the degradation of the communication systems in this country, juxtaposed to the Davis administration gutting the media as they entered their first term. This is a serious conversation. You guys stay tuned. Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM. Cecil Newry, Guardian Radio AM, is up next.
This is Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM, streaming on GuardianTalkRadio.com and the Guardian Radio app, Nassau, Bahamas.